right, Payne and Pendergast, real quick before we get to the ESPY jokes last night from Shane Gillis. We had somebody ask a question on here that I actually had in the rundown. We just didn't have time to get to it. We were talking about the Shamar Stewart situation where he's still holding out from the Bengals because they're in a standoff over a clause in Shamar Stewart's contract. And no, neither side is budging right now. There is a chance that Shamar Stewart, he's already said he'll do it. He'll sit out the year and put himself back in the draft next year. We'll see. We'll see. But I thought about this yesterday, Seth, too. We know that Nick Caserio and a lot of GMs are always looking at little things and ways on the margin that they can get good players, you know, in a way where they're, you know, the less you have to give up, the better a player you can get, the better you can make your team. Text message, could a team like the Texans try and lowball Cincy and trade for him? Offer a second, offer a third, a fourth? And I thought about that yesterday because this we know, Nick Caserio is more inclined to give up a little latitude on contract terms to get a guy in the building, i.e. guaranteed money, you know, more, you know, guaranteed Jaden Higgins' full contract as a second-round pick. That had never happened before. I would guess something like what Stewart and the Bengals are haggling over, something that the Bengals are the only team digging in on, that the Texans would happily acquiesce and say, no, your contract's fully guaranteed. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Should a phone call be made right now by Nick Caserio to the Bengals front office to say, hey, you know, we'll take this little problem off your hands. Here's a third round picker. Here they have 2 seconds next year because of the Tunsil trade. We'll give you the worst of our, you know, we'll give you the worst of our 2 second round
I wonder, picks. You know, we don't know that a phone call like that hasn't happened.
Right.
So would I be pleased if I found out that a phone call like that happened? I see. Yes, I would.
Yeah. Oh hell yeah.
I'd be very very. And now it's at a position that the Texans aren't necessarily desperate for right now. So how much are you going to trade to give up for him? But it's it seems like that's right up Casario's alley.
Yeah. Third-round pick.
Right up his alley.
Third-round pick to get first-round value. And it's the only thing
they
standing
wouldn't. A third-round pick is two, though. I don't think the Bengals would give him up for a first-round for a third-rounder.
I don't think. I think the Bengals are dug. If you're the Bengals, you almost have to be dug in at least through week 10 with this thing. That's the deadline for getting something done.
Yeah, just I think that they might. You know, Luno in that conversation with Chandler Rome and Tyler. I'm sorry, I'm blanking
Stafford.
On his name.
Stafford.
Yeah, Tyler Stafford. Yeah. Sorry, Tyler. Tyler's an awesome dude. He listens to our show. The way Luno talked about it, it's like, you know, he said how things usually start. It's with a casual conversation.
Yeah.
You know, no GM's going to call up with guns ablaze and be like, I got to have Shamar Stewart. What do you want for him? I'll give you anything.
And definitely not Nick. You
know? So Nick, I'm like, hey, what's going on with Shamar Stewart? Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Can I think about maybe trading him? I don't know. I'm just spitballing here, baby.
That's and I would be happy.
That doesn't
to,
sound like Nick either.
No. Hey, baby.
Yeah.
It is a fair question. It's a really interesting situation. All right, ESPYs last night. Shane Gillis, comedian, was the host, did the monologue. And I felt good about this, Seth, because a few of the people he was joking about definitely caught some in his monologue. Here was... got the Belichick joke in, man. Here was Shane Gillis on Bill Belichick and his very, very, very young girlfriend.
Pitcher, hitter, and bookie. A bookie is what Bill Belichick reads to his girlfriend before bedtime. They do. They read The Very Horny Caterpillar. The Little Engine That Could But Needed a Pill First. And, of course, the classic Goodnight Boobs. That was my favorite one. I'm not trashing Bill Belichick. First off, he's 73 years old and he's dating a hot 24-year-old and people are criticizing him? What happened to this country? We used to be a great country. He won 6 Super Bowls. Yeah, he's dating a hot 24-year-old. Maybe if you guys won 6 Super Bowls, you wouldn't be sitting next to a fat, ugly dog wife. They let me do it. I don't. This is Disney. They allowed that. I'm going to tell you a story. I was at a. we should have taken that out. I had doubts going into that. That didn't work all week.
Dude, half the jokes, The funniest part to me is the jokes were good. Him reacting to him like, oh, yeah, like half of them he was doing that after the joke. Like, I didn't even really write that one. That was somebody else who wrote that.
Yeah. That's kind of it. I could see if people don't know Shane Gillis that he almost comes off like he lacks confidence on stage, but that's part of his charm.
Yes.
So that's I could see where people see that version of him and don't necessarily like it if you don't know him. Or maybe you don't like him because of that. Fat ugly dog.
Dude, that one was just that goes.
That's a tough one to not accidentally, subconsciously look at the person that it might apply to. When you're delivering that joke, you almost gotta look at the ceiling when you say that, because it's one thing to make fun of the athletes or the people themselves. It's another sing out an individual fat ugly wife.
Fat ugly dog wife. Oh my god. The big question. Has the shark jumped here on making Deshaun Watson jokes? Apparently not. Shane Gillis made one last night.
I didn't write this. Put your hands where my eyes can see is what they say when Deshaun Watson gets a massage. I disagree as well. I swear to God, I didn't want to tell it.
That part, it's kind of a hokey joke. It's like an easy layup. As a comedian, you probably feel like, all right, like, okay, come on. Like, that you could have read that joke on the internet.
The guys that aren't comedians that do this stuff obviously have joke writers for them.
Yeah.
Do you think Shane Gillis, like, do you think, like, he did?
He obviously does. Yeah. He said he didn't write that joke.
Do you think, that's what I'm saying. Like, do you think maybe he's lying? Like, the joke didn't hit and he was like, well, I didn't even write that one.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't, it's funny. I don't, they have a committee there. Like, you wouldn't have written everything.
You're a little like me right now. You were easily sold to. I'm just posing the question.
I know that's like, cause it roasts. It's like that too. And a lot of times, like, they'll get together before a roast and they'll kind of be trading jokes or whatever, but this is more structured where at a roast, the comedian gets to, a lot of times they have jokes they want to tell that are getting shut down and they can't tell it, but they're not gonna read a joke that they don't like.
Yeah.
But they might, like, one comedian will say, like, hey, I got this joke, but I don't really, it doesn't work for me, but I think it works for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but this for a scripted event where they've got 1 week to prepare for it, I don't know. Yeah, maybe I'm being naive.
Yeah.
But I don't think, again, the whole brand these days, especially, and it springs out of the podcasting world, is like a real transparency about stuff.
Yeah.
And kind of like, breaking through the fourth wall all the time. I think that I believe Shane Gillis when he says he didn't write that joke.
Yeah. I
but
do
they
too.
He might have had 20 jokes that he really liked, but 10 of them got shot down by Disney.
I could see that.
So because of that, you got to pick up like, okay, well, I can tell these, but I'm not, I don't feel great about it.
That one wasn't great, and it was only like 15 seconds. I would have just, if I were him, I just played it because it was Deshaun. It's relevant to our audience that they're still making Deshaun Watson jokes. I would have just gone 15 seconds shorter and not told it. It didn't land.
I would tell Shane Gillis too now that you've got mainstream success, you got to realize the hacky stuff kills. The hacky stuff is your comedian bros are gonna make fun of you for telling that joke, but if you had really leaned into it, the hacky people love hacks. Man, there's a lot of you're on network television, kind of. Just go ahead and lean into it, man.
Go for it.
Go full Jay Leno.
This was a funny
you
one
be, go ahead.
As he's going around, I was a little upset they didn't pan over to this particular athlete, who I'm not even sure was there, but this was him on Carl Anthony Towns.
The New York Knicks had a great season. Hell yeah. Carl Anthony Towns is here. Hey, girl.
Now, do you that one didn't land with you, it looked like.
I didn't get that joke.
Carl Anthony Towns has a reputation. They call him Zesty. Because he's got very effeminate kind of body language and motions and things.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
That.
No, I know that. Yeah. That's pretty good then.
Yeah. He's like waving at the camera. He's doing
what did Carl Anthony Towns
do? They didn't pan to him. I was disappointed. I don't know.
Really?
Maybe he wasn't there. I don't know. Or maybe he was super pissed. Who knows? Or maybe he was getting super zesty and they just couldn't find
him. I'm surprised the network allowed that one because there's going to be people that might perceive that as politically incorrect.
Correct. Yeah. Here's one. This is a Shane Gillis Heisman joke.
Travis Hunter won the Heisman Trophy this year. He's the first defensive player since Charles Woodson to win the Heisman. Congratulations, Travis Hunter, winning the Heisman. That's something they can never take away from you unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case they can take that away from you. Well, see, a lot of you don't like me, and that's okay. That's it for me. That went about as exactly how we all thought it was going to go. I don't know why this happened. So
I think he even said, if I remember correctly, Seth, I think he even said going into that joke, it was his tribute to Norm MacDonald, if I'm not mistaken. I thought he's,
oh, yeah.
I remember correctly. It was Norm MacDonald.
Yeah, you told the Norm MacDonald joke yesterday.
Yeah, I think that exact same joke really got told back.
Did they take away they took the Heisman away from OJ? That's they can't take away the Hall of Fame. They didn't take him out of the NFL Hall of Fame.
No,
right?
No.
But they took the Heisman away?
I don't know. I can't remember. I know they took Reggie Bush's Heisman away for taking money in college, and then they eventually gave it back to him. I don't recall. Text in. Did they take OJ's Heisman away? I don't think they should have.
I agree with you. Yeah,
I
mean, it's something that was long before he was found.
It's a trophy for being a good football. It didn't make him a bad football player. Yeah, no, you get to keep the trophy. Sorry, Heisman Trust. You know,
Nope, his Heisman trophy was not taken away. He was forced to sell it to pay the civil suit. So they didn't take it away, but the man took it away.
The trust, yeah, whoever the trustee was.
The New York Athletic Club didn't take it away,
no.
But the man took it away.
The man did, yeah.
The basically you had to sell it to pay the civil settlement. I hope I never have to sell my Heisman.
I think you're fine.
What's the thing that you would hate? Let's say you had to declare bankruptcy or something. Like, what's the thing that you would really, really hate to part with?
My wife bought me an autographed Lou Holtz helmet that's underneath a really nice case. Like, it's not just an autographed Lou Holtz helmet. It's like it presents really nice. It's something you'd put on a shelf in a living room or something like that. That would be it for sure because, A, it's got sentimental value because of who signed it, and it's, you know, my alma mater. And B, my wife got it for me, so
sentimental value.
Yeah.
I suppose my wedding ring would be the one thing that I'd feel bad about. You know, unless it was like Brandy left me for her jujitsu instructor or something. Then of course I'd sell it. But as of right now,
would it be? You're still married or whatever. But
that's the only like material possession I have that I don't really. It's not like I try to. It's not like I'm like some elevated Zen master or something. I just don't like stuff all that much.
Can I propose one of yours that you might? That pewter helmet that you have for the Ed Block Award.
Oh, yeah. I really love that.
You love that.
Yeah,
that's why I'm bringing it up. You would?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, so if you kill two people and you're found liable in court...
Yeah,
I might be able to get that pewter helmet on the cheat sheet.
If you want to frame me for something, okay, you want that badass pewter.
You know who else likes it? Me.
Yeah. That's probably the thing I would be most upset about parting with.
Yeah.
No, I'm always at any given moment, I'm at risk of just getting rid of everything anyway. I have to talk myself out of just getting rid of
everything.
You're
not a very material person.
I don't like, and it's not because I'm, it's not for any other reason other than that I have a hard time keeping track of things. It's like the more things I have, the more stuff I have to keep track of. And I don't like it.
I can see.
I 100%. I know for a fact if I didn't have a family, I'd be really, really cool living in a shack in the woods. I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, absolutely fine with it. Yeah, yeah. The old saying, like, one less thing for you would be like, 1,000 less things.
Yes,
this is so nice.
Yes.
This is so nice. Yeah.
I had 1 year in college, I didn't have a television, and it was by far, I think, the most productive year of my life, anytime before or since. And I still need to have a television for my job and also because my family enjoys television and everything.
Yeah.
But I just want to pull AJ Hinch on all my televisions once a week.
I just want
to get rid of it.
Oh, man. I've never felt that way about television one time in my whole life.
Yeah.
Ever.
I'm pretty good. I remember I sold my Game Boy when I was in high school because I just realized I was spending too much time on it.
Yeah.
So I sold it to Brad Akins.
Did you get good money for it, or was it one of those things?
Pretty
did
good
he
money.
Get
I don't know. How, I don't know where Brad got the money for it, yeah. But yeah, it was like I didn't sell it for that much. I think it was like 75% of retail.
I've never been a huge video game guy. Just, yeah. I mean, like as a kid when Atari came out, and you go to your friend's house, and that's what you do at a sleepover is play video games all night. But I'm talking about like back then. Like it's strange now because back I think when you and I were kids, it was really only kids that played video games, mm-hmm. and now it's. There's 70-year-olds that play video
right.
games.
It's
all
golf.
The time.
I think video games have kind of turned into this the millennials and Gen Z's version of golf.
Yeah,
it's an acceptable thing to spend a few hours on.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
But don't go overboard with it.
That's right.
Especially if you're the CEO of a company. Yes. CEOs can still get away with going off to play 4 hours of golf a day, but they can't get away with playing 4 hours of video.
Four
game
hours
a day,
of Grand Theft Auto. Yeah.
I feel that's unfair. Yeah. I feel that's unfair.
Yeah, they're being held
I'm not a video game guy either. I don't. Yeah, I'm not one bit a video game guy. But I don't. I see how golf has its attributes, and yeah. video games have different attributes and everything. But I don't. I feel like whenever you're doing something recreational for 4 hours in a chunk, it's the same damn thing.
Well, nowadays they're equally social. You know, you socialize on the golf course, and you socialize with the headset on playing video games with people. You know.
Yeah, you could forge just as much of a bond, maybe more so, going to war with somebody on a video game.
Yeah.
Than you do playing with them in a golf tournament
or partnering up with them if it's somebody you're trying to sell to or a company you're looking. Look how well we partnered on Call of Duty 7. That could be us in the corporate world. All right, text in 713-572-4610. You want to weigh in on any of this. All right, the second half, figurative second half of the season starts tomorrow for the Astros. How many awards are the Astros in the running for right now? ESPN has a rating system here that factors in wins above replacement and several other things. This could be a fun down the stretch in terms of honors for the Astros. We'll have that for you coming up next.